Here now.
Sure. I just wanted to remind everyone that with the exception of the Farood Group, progress reports to NIH in the 2590, the PHS 2590 form style, that includes the face page, the budget pages, all that stuff, are due to NIH by June 1st. So once you've got everything all together and you've either submitted it or are going to submit it, make sure you send me a copy so that I can disseminate that information to the Science Advisory Board. In addition, we're trying to look to see whether or not we can find a 2 to 3 hour window to have the consortium meet, CIFASD group meet at RSA. So if you haven't responded to the doodle poll or let me know that you're not going to RSA, please do so this week because I'm going to try and tackle that. So those two things.
Very good.
Hi, Colleen Joindon.
Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Colleen. Hi.
How are things? Not quite down under.
Fine, thank you. We've just had loads of public holidays, so everything's a bit topsy-turvy, but moving into winter, so we're fine.
And, good.
Yes, Phil is touching down tonight. He's arriving, so he obviously won't be on the call. And I think Wendy got in earlier today, so I'm not sure if they've sent their apologies, but they're both in or arriving in Cape Town soon.
Good. Welcome to the call. So we have the Google Doc progress. Everybody's looked at it, perhaps. True. And I think that the progress is pretty good. People are doing a good job now of getting up to their targets. Are there any logistical or other issues that are standing now in the way of people either entering their subjects or uploading information to the central repository?
This is Sarah. I haven't heard of anything recently, and I think that we've made pretty good progress in terms of getting a lot of data into the database. We're still working on it. Everybody's still very actively entering data. I don't know if the report, Jill, do you know the report that I'm talking about that Michelle sends that has the just the changes to the central repository?
Yeah.
Is that included in the PDF?
No.
Okay. So we had something come up yesterday where it appeared that there wasn't any change to the data in the central repository, and that's because no new subjects are being added, because all subjects are represented, but new data are being added, which is why we now have these very long reports in the PDF that tell you for each measure how much data are there. So when it looks like no data are being added, no subjects are being added, we're actually entering quite a bit of data.
Great. From any of the other sites, any issues with either subject recruitment, running subjects, or data uploading?
Well, this is Dale. I'm looking at the 3D imaging graphs, and at first glance, they were very confusing because they're not plotted from zero.
If you look at the summary one at the bottom, I did notice that too. The only one that's funny, though, well, no, that multiple ones are funny. If you look at this is on page 5. At the bottom, there's a summary.
Okay.
I think that's where you want to be. I can't tell you about these other ones.
Yeah, like the South Africa one.
It's
pretty odd because it goes from 224 on the axis to 225, and so I think if this is possible, they're just one shy of the target of 225. But anyway, that was a little confusing the way it was presented.
I agree.
Which plot were you looking at? Which page is
two? That would be page 3, and it's the bottom plot. It's the most extreme example of.
Yeah.
But the information's all correct if you go to the bottom of page 5 where it has the summary.
Okay.
You just have to pay attention to the axis, yeah.
Yeah.
This is Jill. I like that a little
all
bit.
At once. It wasn't incremental over time.
What, Leah?
The line is a straight line because we got all the images.
No, the axes are what they're worried about.
Over months.
Yeah, Leah, look at the axes, though. Under images collected, they don't start at zero. It's kind of a funky axis, that's all.
You just have to pay attention to the...
Yeah, I did. At first glance, it's...
Well, really, the information that you need, because I always look at this, too, is when I look at the bottom of page 5, where the blue bar shows what's been collected to this point. And then the orangey-red thing is the target.
Yes.
And I think we're doing really well.
Yeah.
This is Jill. Regarding access, basically at the start of each year, we just put what the target is. And since we've been over the target, I didn't start the access at zero. I can change that if it would be easier to read.
So that makes sense.
I think it would be.
It would be easier to read if it started at zero?
Yes.
Okay.
And the summary.
It'll just make the changes look much, much, much smaller.
it will just make the end result harder for you to see. But I can do that.
Yeah. And the summary chart, the bar graph is very helpful.
And then I'd like to point out we also added a time to neurobehavior. I'm looking for the page.
I think you're right behind me.
It's page 7.
Oh, page 7. For the neurobehavioral time 2 testing that goes along with the imaging time 2 testing, which was already present. So we have San Diego, Los Angeles, and South Africa are collecting time 2 neurobehavior data. And so we just started to tally because it got confusing. We're actually testing, but it doesn't look like we're increasing our time 1 because we're not. We're increasing time 2. Which we're hoping to be able to use as pilot data for a future application.
Good. Okay. five question update. Sarah, can you handle question 2?
Let me open my email so I can get question 2.
Question 2 is, we'll take charge of conducting a multi-site evaluation of neuropsych data, et cetera.
Okay, absolutely. We've been working sort of steadily on this. We have two papers that we're working on that we're presenting posters for presenting posters at RSA, and they are particularly related to behavioral features, not so much the direct neuropsych assessment, but features of the behavior that the parents are reporting. So we have two papers that we're working on. We're hoping to have them submitted before RSA. And then we still need to go back and try to make a more comprehensive view of the profile. But I keep finding that there are little bits that we need to tackle in the meantime.
Okay. Tatiana, you have question 3. Take charge of applying this morphology algorithm for diagnosing FAS. To the 3D facial imaging and so on.
Okay, so we've talked about this one before. I mean, there are we've noted that there are real issues for applying the dysmorphology algorithm right on FAS. So I think we've actually kind of moved this question into a different focus, which probably needs to get retooled here. Can I ask about DNA for just a moment and use my time to clarify a couple things? Because may I do that, or do I need to do that at a different time?
No, let's do that.
Okay. So we have funding to do a GWAS, as many of you recall, on about, I think it's 240 individuals. And we have the money for that. And if you recall, it's not so much to do a traditional GWAS. It's really designed to test candidate genes that people wanted to look at for different domains, and it was actually more cost-effective to do it as a GWAS. So I just want to remind everyone that we're not doing a traditional GWAS. And the reason I want to bring this up is we've been going through, and part of the reason we waited is we wanted to get as much data as we could. And since we're not really enrolling very many new subjects in a number of sites, we thought now was the right time to kind of circle around on the data that we have. And I'd like to just review it to make sure I know who's thinking the most about genetics. And so for those subjects who have DNA, so I'm limiting what I look at to those subjects who have DNA. And for all sites except for South Africa and the Ukraine, those are other mechanisms. So we have 66 individuals that have brain imaging that also have saliva. And I know that a lot of this discussion was precipitated by Elizabeth's interest in looking at particular genes in that sample. So I think we absolutely want to do that sample. But there's obviously a lot less than 240 there. And so we've been reviewing how many individuals have all domains, and all domains is going to be actually a subset of Elizabeth Sell's brain imaging. There are 50 individuals that have 3D facial imaging. They obviously all have saliva. They have neuropsych. They have brain imaging. They have dysmorphology, and they have DNA. So they have everything. There are 50 individuals like that. So those are all within the 66 that Elizabeth has. There are 266 individuals that have neuropsych measures, and that's pretty close to the 240 that we want to get to. And these also have alcohol exposure data for the most part. And I guess I wanted to hear just very quickly before I propose that we take from that core and make sure we get the brain imaging, but that we also focus on those kids that also have neuropsych. And I wanted to know just briefly, is Sarah, are you interested or are others interested in potentially looking at particular DNA variants with certain neuropsych outcomes?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Because I think to me that seems so if you I would make sure we got all the brain imaging, because I think that we had very specific hypotheses, and then what I would propose is actually to scoop up through the rest and make sure we had neuropsych. Now, there's
Every child with brain imaging
should have neuropsych.
They
well,
with almost
that's,
sure, 100% certainty would have neuropsych.
Right.
But the opposite is not true.
Yes. And there's
and
absolutely that's
I want to make sure that the kids that Claire will be scanning at Emory.
So that's my next question is, do you know which, I don't think she's on the phone call, have you identified which, it's 10 kids, right? Do you know which 10 those are going to be?
I think she knows.
Okay.
She knows, and my assumption, and I think we've had this conversation without her before, unfortunately, my assumption has always been that those kids would also have the neuropsych.
And so, because I do just want to clarify, so there's a group of kids, and Ken's not on the phone, that have been seen by Claire that I think many of you are familiar with. They're not, they were seen by Ken, so they have dysmorphology. We have 3D facial imaging, and we have saliva, but they don't have neuropsych, and they're older individuals. And I do want to just clarify.
How old?
They're adults.
They're adults, but Ken saw them for CFAS?
Yes, I mean, so I don't know if Leah wants
adults
to click,
like
but
in their 20s or adults in their like 18s?
In their 20s.
In their 20s.
Really?
No, see, we went through a whole ordeal to get IRB for her to do kids.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. She's got a whole bunch of kids, but I'm just asking because those people have alcohol exposure.
Yeah, but it's strange to me that they would have been seen for consortium and they'd be adults. We have one or two.
I'm just telling you, there were a lot of the most recent visit, and I guess I just wanted to clarify that those are not the people who are going to get brain imaged.
Okay, then I can't guarantee that they'll have neuropsych because I don't know who those people are.
Okay, so I should.
I mean, I actually know who they are. They're from an ongoing study that she has where they do have brain imaging, but they may not have consortium brain imaging.
So would that be brain imaging that could potentially be combined? I mean, is it done similarly enough to what Elizabeth does? That
I
saliva on them, so if I can.
I think we'd have to talk to her and see what exactly is going on because it doesn't jive with.
No,
like
see,
the plan was for brain imaging or the plan was for neuropsych.
There are 20 of them. Is that right, Leah?
22, 23, something like that.
So I'm just asking. So right now I am not including them in these GWAS numbers. So I'm not proposing them. So I guess I just wanted to get clarification if it was resolved. Who is getting brain imaged? So I'll start with Claire. I'm probably going to CC both of you because I want to make sure I have saliva on those people, and I want to make sure that they get GWASP. And I just wanted to see if they had any overlap with these because otherwise I was going to push that they need to get more complete data because they don't have neuropsych.
Elizabeth, trying to make a comment.
Yeah. So it's really because the kids that Claire is planning on doing all have the full FAS. And if they, if you're talking about using older imaging data that doesn't match our protocol.
It has no value. That's what I wanted to know.
Wait, your study to this one site that had more FAS
right.
A different scanner.
And no
so you know that they are
no
kids.
No control.
These are kids, and they do have FAS.
That's the plan. That's for Curtis Scan kids who have full FA.
And the idea was definitely for those kids that have neuropsych, because that was the whole Ken Jones's whole thing. Was he wanted
going to pick kids who have every already.
Yep.
So can I just clarify, do these kids already have neuropsych? What I want to make sure of is...
Because I think they either have it or they will. She's had a lot of problems keeping a psychometrist employed, and they now have one who's trained and checked out, and they should be collecting data. They haven't increased their numbers for the past few months because of that, but I'm expecting that in May, because they're cleared to test,
okay.
So they should be collecting data.
And I want to clarify, it is 10 that they're going to have brain imaging on.
That's what the plan is, yeah.
Perfect. All right. So I will set up a separate email. I just want to make sure that I have them on this list because, you know, there's only 66 that I have right now. And so 10 is a substantial increase.
Yes.
And so I just want to make sure that I have them somewhere in one of these counts, because if I don't, then they're going to get missed. And I want to make sure I have saliva on them. Okay. So what I hear and what I'm going to do then is I'm going to confirm these numbers there, but then we will create a list of samples that will be going to CIDR that will have all the kids, all the individuals that have brain imaging, and then I will continue to fill in to get all those without brain imaging but with neuropsych. That will be our next raft. We are taking all races because we don't have enough that we can limit ourselves. So you will have individuals of different race, but I think we can live with that the way we're going to design this study. And variable exposures. Okay. Does that seem reasonable to everyone?
So I wanted to ask about variable exposures. Will you have a large enough group with exposure and variable outcomes?
Yes.
Be able to address the question of susceptibility that we were most interested in.
Okay. So let me give you the numbers of what I have, okay? Of the 66 with brain imaging, 17 have more than minimal exposure, 26 have none, and 18 the exposure, at least in the database right now, is listed as unknown. 5 don't have dysmorphology right now, and so those 5 dysmorphologies tied to exposure. So once dysmorphology is done, exposure will come in. So that's the range on brain imaging.
Where are the ones that need dysmorphology from, you know?
I think they were to Los Angeles, actually. Does that sound right, Leah? I don't have the file open.
I would have asked San Diego.
Oh, you said they were San Diego. Okay, my apologies. We'll look while I go to the next.
We do have clinics scheduled every month for the next several months, so we're really, really hoping, trying to get.
Okay, I can give you those 5 to make sure that we get them filled in.
Why don't you send me those something to tell me who they are, and I will.
Yep.
We'll try to prioritize them as long as
perfect. I would still send them off to get done. And then the 266 with neuropsych, 69 have more than minimal exposure. You make sure this sounds right to you, Sarah. 158 are none, 26 are unknown, and 12 right now are blank because they don't have dysmorphology, so we don't have that information. Does that sound about right to you?
I can't say off the top of my head. The exposure one category seems low compared to the non-exposed category.
Okay.
Now, do you know, are you considering ADHD in your non-exposed category?
So this is just all we've looked at is exposure. So we just took the kids who had neuropsych and saliva.
That's why your exposed category could be bigger than I think, because you might be including ADHD.
Very possible.
Okay.
But you would want those to be GWAS, wouldn't you?
Of course.
Okay, so at this point, that's all I'm trying to make sure is that I have a reasonable balance of exposure and I've got the right people who are being GWAS'd. And then the final thing, and I don't mean to belabor this, is there are some related individuals, and we've been going through them, but because sometimes what data you have on related individuals differs, at this point, we were going to rip out and not put any related people, but we're actually leaning now, Lee and I, toward including them because sometimes the exposure is different on siblings, sometimes what we have on siblings is different, and it might give us more flexibility. So if they have the key variables we're wanting, even if they're related to someone else, right now we're considering including them, but when we do the analysis, we'll have to take care of it. So I'll have a final list, I would think, within a week if we straighten out this Claire thing, and then everyone can review it.
And having related individuals gives you more power, at least in terms of the susceptibility question, if they have.
Absolutely. Well, and for almost every test, you're assuming it is unrelated individuals. It's just when we started going through and saying, well, should we just pick one person in the family? Well, sometimes, you know, the exposure differs. So depending on what measure you were doing, depending on if they had one had neuropsych and one had, you know, I guess in theory one had something else, you know, then you might differ on the person you'd want to pick for the analysis. So
let me go back to your 266. You said that there's 69.
With more than minimal exposure.
More than minimal. How many are there altogether with significant exposure in whom And of those, how many are identified as FASD and how many are not?
Okay. So I'm gonna give my answer, and then I know there's two people who will probably correct me. So so I'm just tabulating who has neuropsych data and exposure. Remember, there's a different variable, which is then you start to see if they're, you know, FAS or deferred. That's
right.
Something different. So this is just looking at exposure, and so the other variable can get a little bit dirty. And so I could tell you, and I can put that in a spreadsheet, among those that are more than minimal, how many would then have gotten, based on their evaluation with Ken, where they got classified.
What you want to use is the DEM group class variable.
Right. I mean, but that's not what I was looking for yet. I mean, I thought, given the way we've been doing analyses, people, I got the impression that most people were doing their analysis exposed or not exposed.
We were until we had the DEM group class variable.
Okay. So
the better variable.
It is, but I guess based on selecting people to be GWAS, I don't feel like I'm that far over my target that I'm really that worried. Do you feel like I should be reviewing that and ripping out some people based on that?
No. I'm trying to think why you would. I think you probably will get more with the way you're doing it than by using more subjects than by using DEM group class, because DEM group class will be affected by missing data, although we're doing so much better on missing data now. I mean, I'd be happy to look at, you know.
That's fine. I'm looking for, I don't want to do this. I don't want to make any mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll get it all. I'll have a spreadsheet that will have all of that in there. We're about 20 over, 25. So we're not trying to get rid of that many people. And so that's why I wasn't that aggressive about trying to rip people out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we have, I know this isn't the number of kids that you have saliva on, but your saliva is a subset. We have this variable, this DEM group class variable, on 87, almost 88% of the subjects. So we're so much better than we were before.
Okay.
But
can you say a little bit about that variable for those of us who don't know what?
Yes. It's a variable that we create. So just to go back, give you a little history. When we first started, we had no grouping variable at all. So then we created these, what we called the three questions, which one of which was the child exposed to alcohol? And one of the choices is yes at a greater than minimal level, which was an acceptable variable. But it does include in the greater than minimal some people that we might consider controls, because greater than minimal is actually a very low level of exposure. So we created a more refined variable that we called DEM group class, which is based on six important grouping variables, one of which is the alcohol exposure question, one of which is the dysmorphology variable. I'm trying to think what the other six, I can't remember off the top of my head what the other six are. The variables are, was the child exposed? What's the FAS status, meaning what's diagnosis has Ken, or label has Ken given them, or the dysmorphology core given them? What group was the child recruited for? Does the child have ADHD? What their IQ is, because we need that to determine if they go into the low IQ group. And that's it. And we use those variables to, in that complicated flowchart, to determine what the final grouping variable is. Now, we will, compared to what Tatiana is using, which is just the prenatal exposure variable, it will be somewhat different. We may lose more subjects because of missing data or because, for example, a child we thought was a control has greater than minimal exposure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's helpful.
But so we get a smaller number of subjects, but we get a cleaner grouping variable. But Tatiana, at a separate time, we can go through and just compare subject by subject what you think they are, you know, in terms of the different variables.
Yeah, I mean, my main thing is I want to get these samples started.
Yep.
And so we've just actually, Leah just sent a note to Claire to get make sure we've got saliva on the 10, and we're going to get the IDs to make sure we don't miss them now that we know that they must be kids. Perfect.
Yep.
So that's it. That's my spiel. I just really want to get this started, and I don't want to belabor it, but I want to make sure I get the right people.
I appreciate it. And when you have the information and you've put a spreadsheet together, could you send that to Jill and copy Ed and me on it, just so we're in the loop on this?
Absolutely.
That's great, because this is really a wonderful opportunity, and we want to be able to circulate it to everybody so that people can see what it is, and if there are any final suggestions that people have to make, it would be great.
Perfect. No problem.
Okay. Terrific. Question four is Elizabeth of USC, who will take charge of determining brain correlates of dysmorphology, including dysmorphology and brain variables. Do you have an update on that, Elizabeth?
Well, you all know we published the paper on volumes and correlations with the face and IQ. So that was published a couple months ago. And then I just yesterday heard that the cortical thickness paper with correlations with the face was revised and resubmitted at cerebral cortex. So I'm pretty certain it will get in. So that's awesome.
Where did those two go or appear?
Okay, so cerebral cortex is the one that we just got to revise and resubmit. I think it was NeuroImage that the volume one got published in. So these are, you know, pretty good journals. You know, obviously they're pretty heavily related towards imaging, but they're still pretty general and well-respected, so I feel good about that. And we just submitted, I think we submitted the corpus callosum paper. So those are three papers. And, you know, my next goal, other than, you know, getting the genetic stuff, which we obviously can't do, is just start looking at how many longitudinal subjects. And I know Colleen's just, you know, just doing awesome at getting all those kids back in. And Sarah's working on that now, and we are. So maybe, you know, getting some preliminary analyses done for, you know, while we're waiting for the rest of the subjects. I think that would be the next step.
Terrific.
And the other thing is that I have someone working on, we got all the faces from Tatiana, who also have brain, and I have a junior colleague who's working on creating some software to help us sort of put those two things together. So, but he's still at UCLA, so, you know, I'll keep working with him. But, it's just another step beyond what Peter Hammond is doing because we're adding the brain.
Right. That's great.
Yeah.
And, Sarah, you had the last question.
Yes, which I have to say I'm afraid to say we haven't made much progress on. Instead, I'll put in a plug for the special issue of Neuropsychology Review, which just came out, which highlights several of us, and that Ed and I are competing for the top most downloaded article. So download my article.
What's the book, Sarah?
It's a blog later on.
If you go to the Neuropsychology Review website, they actually track the most downloaded article.
Is this like voting for the All-Star game?
Yes. You can vote as many times as you want.
You get 25 votes for the All-Star game. That's all.
Keep voting.
It sounds more like American Idol to me.
Okay.
But tell him I asked you to download my article.
No, it's
recorded.
Minutes, of course. So let's go back now and do progress reports. And maybe Sarah, since you're on a roll.
Sure. I spoke mostly about what we've done so far. So testing has slowed down. There are we still are hoping for more subjects to be collected in, now USC and Atlanta. And they, as I mentioned, Atlanta has an approved tester, so they are going to hopefully be increasing their numbers. We've increased our numbers of the IQ-matched group, which was a group we were targeting. So we're hoping to make some steady progress there. South Africa has, you know, exceeded their goals and is working on their time too. And then I think New Mexico actually is making slow but sure progress. But mostly everyone's been working on getting data into the database, which we've been really thrilled about. We have 722 subjects tested, and I think if we count if we count the teacher data, which is abysmal, we have 80% of our variables are entered into the database. Without the teacher, we're at 92%. So we're really making a lot of progress. There's definitely areas for us to continue to make progress, but I think we're doing pretty well.
Terrific. Let's see, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I mean, I think that everyone's just working on getting their time too. And I don't know what else to say. We're getting the data. It's going smoothly. We're analyzing it as it comes in. On ADHD, obviously, we were having problems. But I'm going to try to make connections here to see if I can help improve that. It, you know, it's hard to explain, but at UCLA, it's like ADHD wasn't my thing. And everyone I tried to connect with to refer us kids kind of felt like I was going to try to compete with them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so people, you know, even though I explain, I don't want to look at ADHD in and of itself. I want to look at it in as a contrast.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it
really didn't go anywhere, and I'm not a clinician. You know, I don't have in hindsight, that's obviously what was happening. So hopefully here, I'm at Children's Hospital after all. But I just got here yesterday. So
have you made those connections yet, Elizabeth?
Oh. I'm hoping we can pull more sooner. Hopefully to make up for our... Either that or I'll just give you the money back, Sheriff, because ADHD I couldn't get.
Well, one thing to consider...
I'm sure you would like that.
To just recruit directly from the community as opposed to going through...
Yeah, right. And we did try that. With the few we got from Craigslist.
Yeah.
But I have a new person in my lab who's going to sort of be a second project coordinator, and recruitment is going to be one of her big jobs.
Okay.
I mean, Suzanne, you know, she's starting graduate school.
I know.
Here at USC in developmental psychology, so...
Is she still going to work for you?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
She's really great.
She's not going to be doing the extent of what she was doing, but she'll definitely still be involved.
Okay.
Good. Tatiana?
So I guess the big things is, you know, we've gone out and reached out to other sites to try to get additional subjects. And so we talked about it last month, but now it's happened. We sent Leah and Ken Jones went to Minnesota and saw 50 individuals, got 3D facial imaging, and also got saliva from those individuals. And so there were 34 alcohol exposed and 16 controls. And it was really to get a bolus of in essence, faces. For Peter Hammond. And I guess the one question I have is, so we, you know, I don't know how the consortium works, you know, in the future, but there may be some additional data, you know, potentially on these individuals. They seem to be a group that was very motivated to come in. And so depending on, you know, what we need and what our focus is in the future, you know, that might be a place to get additional subjects if you have certain things that you need. I mean, they were really great to work with. And I think we left things very well with them. So that's a big push. South Africa has been the other place with Colleen where we've been seeing, as you recall, we're having a real bolus of individuals there right now, focused on getting 3D imaging on individuals who are doing brain imaging. And then we just continue to percolate with the other sites. So I've talked with Peter Hammond, who is, I thought by now we would have had a paper from him. He's a little bit delayed. But I hope that's coming. We also are going back and trying to do some longitudinal data, similar to what Peter does, but using the Minolta, the earlier camera, and that can be done primarily in South Africa and also in the San Diego sample. And I'm presenting that for RSA, so we're hoping to have it a little bit more extended so it's more similar because, you know, Peter doesn't want to use the older camera. So that's really the major areas, and then the DNA, which I've talked about.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see, Claudia.
Yes, we're still measuring. We measured 3 subjects, and we have another one coming tonight. And we're looking for correlations between evoked response features and some of the EQ measures. And we're picking up quite a few, actually, especially back in parietal cortex. And given that we saw such differences in some of the waveforms for the conditioning paradigm, I've been thinking that it would be a very good idea to bring in the subjects again this summer and try to get some autonomic measures from them. And we will have Yeah, and there seems to be already some iBlink data out there that shows that they're not conditioning very well. So we should have we should have GSR, heart rate, and temperature fairly soon to start doing that with some of these subjects. Hello?
Okay. Any comments or questions for Claudia? Jennifer?
I don't really have much to add. I think my last call, Tina mentioned that a number of blood samples were sent to Davis, so not much to add today.
Okay. Colleen?
No, I think Sarah, Elizabeth, and Tatiana have covered where we are. We're just keeping our schedule going. We predicted we'd be slow in the last month because of school holidays and a lot of public holidays, and we will just continue. We'll continue collecting data and T2 data. Tatiana, I wanted to just confirm with you that Peter Hammond's deadline, is it still end of June for getting 3D data in?
Yes. Are you asking how hard is the deadline for the end of June?
Yes, I just want a confirmation.
I think if you see some people into July, that's fine.
Okay.
I think we'd much rather extend.
So we may go a few over 30 then. Yes, but there's no point if the data is not going to be, if it's not going to be contributory.
I will make sure he knows that there will still be some additional individuals, but I think in particular, given that these are people who are all getting brain imaging, I think they're so important as well for the analyses also that, Elizabeth and others are going to do that. I think if we can get some additional individuals, I will make sure he knows there are more coming in July. And if you get a feel for when you'd cut it off in July, that would be helpful.
Yes, okay. Well, look, it was just a query. We should make our 30 we've got 2 months to do that, so we've got the majority already. Yes, it's just a query, so that we can plan. But we might get a few over 30 then.
That'd be great. I'll email him right now and let him know, and I'll CC you.
Yes. Okay. And then maybe you could just let me know. If he says July the 1st, then we'll finish end of June.
So what would be helpful to me is let me know if you can how many are going to get seen in July.
Okay. It won't be that many because it's the school holidays, and we're very reliant on the school system of accessing children.
So if we cut it off the middle of July,
during holidays, and they don't keep their appointments, yes.
Okay.
So I could tell you that would be the end of June, yes. So I think we're going fine. Maybe we should leave it there end of June.
Okay. All right.
And we may get one or two into July.
Okay.
And one thing that, Colleen, also you guys did all that is morphology data, which was a huge help.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Tanya and our research assistants worked extremely hard. We weren't sure because Tanya was off last week and she hadn't had confirmation that the data uploaded. But they really, really worked hard, and all of the data's in. So we went from about 15 to, I think, 19-something percent in a matter of 2 or 3 weeks.
I can't say for sure, but I think it is. I think it did get in.
Yes.
Yeah, probably
there was
got the email.
There was a delay because we usually get an automatic response. And
yeah, we do have to verify.
Yes, and it hadn't come through. So anyway, we'll pick it up. We'll pick that up. Tanya's back this week.
Yeah, it says that there's an FAS status variable, so at least that one variable from dysmorphology for 197 subjects, which is 95% of your sample.
Yes. No, we're very pleased. That was a very big task that's been accomplished in the last month.
Yep.
And I think that's fine for me here. Yes, I think also to pick up Elizabeth's point, I think the longitudinal data, we mentioned it at the winter meeting, is a novel approach, and I think that's really worth pursuing.
Oh, yeah.
I think from the imaging side, we will have 3D as well as the longitudinal neuropsych and brain imaging data. So we have DCI data as well, diffuse tensor imaging data longitudinally.
Wow.
That's a beautiful data set.
Yeah. So, yes, apart from the genetics, and I'm sure there's a fair smattering of X-linked intellectual disability in there, in our controls, I think we are in a good, nice position to look at some of the longitudinal work.
Yeah, and Colleen, but let me just say, the longitudinal would be a huge value.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, Tanya is doing her PhD, and she's looking at the executive function.
Oh, awesome.
She's presenting a little bit of her data at RSA. She's got a FAST data. But yes, it's going to be, it brings us into slightly more predictive area, if we can look at longitudinal data.
We'll have it at other sites too. Try to combine, but even if it were just, that one site, it would be a huge value.
Yes, that's definitely with everyone's support, that's been one of our major aims, is to actually get longitudinal data. It's a big area in the developmental disabilities at the moment, particularly
absolutely.
In genetic syndromes. The whole life trajectory is a big, big thing. And so it brings it into line with some of the neuroscience and the neurobehavioral work that's been done in other developmental disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just a short look.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
I think to bring the imaging in as well is great, yeah.
That sounds great, and hopefully something that we can continue to talk about at the RSA meeting as we get a better sense of how much longitudinal data that we're going to be able to collect, because it is a potentially exciting facet to this that we hadn't anticipated when this grant went in.
Michael, do we know anything about a renewal or anything on that front?
Let me get to that. Let me just ask Bill Barnett if there are any issues related to the informatics that you would like to raise.
We're pretty much, we're in a situation where a lot of the input tools have been done, and we're just collecting data, as Sarah was talking about earlier. One thing that we are doing, kind of preparing for the future, is looking to do what we call refactoring the code, which is putting it into a format that allows us to build tools and to develop more standardized software, because we're looking at this in the future of being a more generalized or tool or resource that can be accessed more generally and built on. So that's one of the things we're doing, kind of preparing for the future. But other than that, I think we're pretty much, I think, taking data as they come in and taking requests to solve problems as those come in.
Terrific. So I'll ask maybe if Dale can comment first on everything that you've heard and maybe address the question of the RFA.
Well, I can't say too much about that, but we anticipate there being an RFA, and that's all just coming together at this point, but can't go into any specifics.
But you anticipate that there will be an RFA?
That's what I said.
That's what you said. Okay.
Yeah.
And any comments about the various progress reports that you've heard?
I think things are going great. It sounds like all the stuff is getting into the database, and there's some exciting papers coming out, and ideas being generated, it all sounds good to me.
Terrific. And John.
Can I ask a question? Dale, is there any project that you think would be for us to focus on in terms of data analysis that would be particularly useful?
I wouldn't say in any specific ways, but I do think that cross-disciplinary integration, I think, is one of those few, one of the things that only this group really can do.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you've got all the disciplines within reach and can build upon that in ways that, someone with an R01 can't readily do, obviously. So I think that's a strength that I would think should be focused on.
Okay. Thank you.
John?
John, I have nothing more to add to that. I think everything is going very good. I'm really pleased at how well those five questions have really spurred collecting all the multidisciplinary, all the multidimensional information together and really making progress in that regard. I think the addition of the DNA that Tatiana was elaborating on is going to be another terrific step.
Uh-huh. Very good. Jill, do you have any last comments or requests?
Just a fun reminder to please do the doodle poll right now, just get it done, and to make sure that you email me your completed progress report from face page to checklist once it's all assembled. That's it.
Very good. Thank you all for your time, and we'll re-engage, I guess, beginning of June. So thanks all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.